Well, let's pray. We're going to ask God for understanding. It's about Jesus. How many understand it's about Jesus? I had some people, they were freaking out this week. Did y'all meet anybody freaking out this week? I want to thank you all as a church that you did not freak out. I want to thank God for your maturity in Christ. I want to thank God, especially in 8 o'clock, enough of you have been in Bible study that when you hear something crazy that goes all over the internet and people stick pamphlets in your mailbox and you pull them out and you read them, you say, wait a minute, this is not what the scripture says. This is not what the scripture says. Even though the pamphlets were laced with what? Scripture. And so you got to know the Bible. How many of y'all understand that this is an important moment to know the Bible? And if you don't know it, you're going to get snookered. I'm telling you, it says there's a time like this. Watch this. There are churches all over America that are teaching false doctrine because they have some kind of great speaker that's kind of charismatic in the way he presents stuff, and he can say anything he wants to, and the people are so limited in their understanding of God's word that they buy anything hook, line, and sinker. That's why a guy can get on TV and throw you a prayer hanky for $29.95 and he can make money. And the reason he can make money is because people are uninformed. That's a nice way for saying dumb. They'll buy in, and God's not asking you to buy in, is he? How many of y'all have read the scripture? God doesn't ask me to buy in. We just sang a beautiful chorus here. He didn't ask me to buy in. He asked me to give in. To give in to Jesus Christ's lordship. So if they did rapture, we're still here. So welcome to tribulation. And by the way, on this rapture deal, listen, I hope all you hoovered up people are right. I hope we're just going to hoover and miss all the chaos. I wouldn't lay all my chips on that space. I also would have a faith to be prepared if we were going to go through some travail. Because here's the thing, as I read the scripture, I have a historical problem here. When did God's people ever miss tension? So this seems like kind of an Americanized little deal where when the trouble starts, we all just zoop out of here and we're going to miss all the trouble. That sounds more like baby boomer theology than it does Bible. That sounds more like an American idea than it does the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, the theory of the rapture has only been around 150 years. What we're to look forward to is not exit, but return. That's been, how many of y'all look forward to the return of Christ? You see, it's return is the thing. But you know what? I didn't hear anybody saying Jesus is coming back. I didn't hear that this week. Guess what I heard? The world's coming to an end. Is the world coming to an end? You know what? They were testifying to what they love. The world. And what did Jesus say? Because you've been forgiven, because you've been redeemed, you're no longer confined just to this dimension of the world. Our anxiousness of excitement ought to be one day Jesus returns and the fulfillment of all salvation comes to reality. Shouldn't that be our attitude? But watch this. We are so self-concerned, we're worried about what we're going to miss instead of what we're going to gain. Now let's play with that for a minute. How many of y'all understand when we submit to Christ, it is all gain? Now, what's the key phrase there, though? I got to submit to what? Now, what do we tend to do? How many of y'all do this during the week? Sometimes I give myself into Jesus's thinking, and at other times I try to think it out on my own. Anybody got that same kind of concept? Sometimes I'm going to do what God wants me to do, and at other times I'm just going to do what pleases me. Anybody in the room here have that kind of tension during the week? Yeah, me too. Pastor Mark, do you ever have that kind of tension during the week? Pastor Chase, I mean, you're a youth man and youth are coming to Christ, but do you still have that kind of tension? There's the tension. So go with me to Acts 3. Acts 3, we're going to finish up today. So Pastor Reynolds, I'm going to ask you to get in that prayer closet because I have more than five verses and I'm going to see if we can get to chapter 4 today, okay? It is about Jesus. I know I say that every Sunday, and you know why I say that every Sunday? Because this week, as I have lived out and I've heard people, I was at the lake Friday, and I'm working, getting ready for Memorial Day weekend. You know, you got to get, sin gets on your boat during the winter, all this green gunky stuff, you know, and I've held a power washer in my hand for the last 6 weeks on everything I own, just getting the what? Getting the gunk off. Well, here comes my lake friends. They all start coming in Friday evening about 5 o'clock. And so they all come down on the boat. Reverend, do you think this is the last day? And I said, you think I'm stupid? I said, do you think if this was the last day, I'd be cleaning this boat on my last day? But he got me thinking, what would you do on your last day? You know, here's what disappointed me. For a group of people that thought it was the end of time, I didn't see a heartbeat to make sure a whole lot of others were going. It was more about a time and a date of exit than it was anybody going with us. You know what I'm saying? Now, Hillview, I'm going to ask God to encourage our hearts to tell others about Jesus today. And I know this isn't popular anymore. And I know being evangelistic's not the new cool thing to do in small theological subcultures. But I want to tell you something. It is the heart of Jesus Christ. I just want you to look at your neighbor and let them know Jesus desires to be with you. Go ahead and tell them that. Jesus desires to be with you. He does. He desires to be with you. And you know what I pray, Hillview? I pray that we continue that attitude. There's one thing I'm thankful for in this church. There's enough people here, not everybody, but there's enough here that's concerned about somebody else coming to know Jesus Christ. And I hope we never lose that attitude, because I'm going to tell you right now, the devil is prowling around this place. He is prowling around this place, and he wants to get us focused on something else. He's a little ticked off right now. We build a building. Well, we didn't lock in on that. He's mad because usually that'll get Protestant people. If they build a building, they'll be derailed in their ministry for 50 years. Because they've read the Great Commission. It said, go ye therefore and build. I thought it said, go ye therefore and tell. Now, as we're in Acts chapter 3, look at verse 17. We have Peter in this, he's in a discourse now with the people in his community. Most of them Jewish. And he's saying, here's the point. You all are fascinated by God's healing. You're fascinated by that, but you're not fascinated with the Christ. Man, Fainter, I feel like I'm reading the paper. That's so 21st century. We're always fascinated about God's work, but we're never fascinated about Jesus. And what does it mean to really be intimate with Christ is to fall in love with who? Jesus. Who?
Jesus.
Who?
Jesus.
You know, some churches, you've said his name right now more than most will hear all day. Mm-hmm. How many of y'all have been to a church where they're more excited about the announcements than they are the pronouncement? They talk more about the potluck than they do about the kingdom that is coming. They talk more about Mother's Day out than they do Jesus Christ bringing us in. This week's been an interesting week. Dr. Ward, this next week will really be interesting for us. I've been to several churches this week. I did a conference for a moment, so I've been around pastors this week. Why? Can I ask y'all a question? Why are we not just absolutely elated about Jesus Christ? Who put Jesus in this confining, sterile, academic pronouncement? So I want to give you something. If you listen, I want to thank God for y'all. This church is a street church. How many of y'all realize this church is built for the streets, man? And thank God it is, because Jesus had most of his conversations in the community. Not in some sterile, remote place where only a few gathered, but he's talking to the crowd. I'm telling you, it'll work here on the street. How many of y'all glad Jesus works on the street? Anybody glad Jesus works in the everyday of life? He's there on Monday, there on Tuesday. He's there on Wednesday after the bank calls. He's there on Thursday after everything's being taken care of. He's there. He's there. He's what? There. How many of y'all have ever gotten IRS letters? Anybody get those other than the pastor here? They've lost our tax returns again. I'm just going to quit paying them. Is they're going to lose them? How many of y'all that ticks you off when people don't do things they're supposed to do? You know what ticks me off? It's not that they lose things. It's that I can't do nothing about it. How do you complain to the government? Huh? It's crazy. Always something going on. But guess who's always there? Jesus. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance as your leaders did. How many of y'all have ever acted in ignorance? Go on. Anybody here ever acted in ignorance? Husbands, if y'all don't get your hands up, I'm breaking this sermon right now, and I'm going to have testimony time for your wives. Elizabeth, go ahead and testify. Have I ever acted in ignorance? Now, I set myself up on the rim for that one, didn't I, Chuck? Yeah. Give me an example of me acting in ignorance. There's plenty. Yeah, I've done that before. How many of you husbands have ever blamed some members in your family for tearing something up in the house? Or losing something? We got a dog two and a half years ago, and my wallet was missing, so I figured it was time to bring the dog in the family. So I blamed the dog that he got my wallet and take it outside and buried it. I knew that's what had happened to my wallet. I was acting in what? Did I have fact of that? Now, as Peter and John begin to describe, they really have some mercy here. You've acted in ignorance. Pastors, I think that one of the ways that we have to be merciful is a lot of situations we deal with, we as people sometimes act in ignorance. Now, I want to inform you of something. If you want to live a full and abundant life, a life that is deep and rich and wide with the things of God, acting in ignorance will not be profitable to you. Now, I'm just as your pastor. I really, if you're going to be ignorant at Hillview Heights Church, it's by your choice. You have to make a conscious decision to not go to Bible study, to not be involved in the deeper things of faith. And guess what? If you live in a shallow, puny life on the day of judgment, I'm going to tell them, Lord, they chose not to. Coach Britt, can you make your players play well? No, you can't, can you, coach? All you can do is give them the opportunity to what? Play well. True? How many of you wives, can you make your husbands like you want him to be? How many of you husbands, if you husbands even try this, this scripture applies. Now, brothers, I know that you've acted in ignorance. How many of you men have ever tried to change a woman? Now, guess why you tried that? You've never been to Bible study and read Genesis 3. Who was talking to the snake? It wasn't a man. It was a what? Woman. Who picked the fruit? Hold on, but it's not her fault. Who was supposed to stop her? And what was Adam doing? He's doing what most of us men do. I hope this just... How many of you men do life like this? This will be over soon. It'll just be over soon. We'll get through this one. What's coming next? Now, brothers, he said, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. Now, sometimes we act in ignorance. Guess what? The power of God is right before us, and we choose a different power. But this is how God had planned it. You acted in ignorance. You crucified the Christ. You politically arranged the crucifixion of Christ. Do you realize that's what went on? You know who was involved in the crucifixion of Christ? The religious who proclaimed themselves holy. Could not see holy. There's not much changed. Because sometimes church folk are more committed to being church folk than they are to being followers of Jesus Christ. I hope that you're encouraged here to be a follower of Jesus Christ in your life and not to just be a member of Hillview Heights Church. Because when the trumpet does blow, that ain't going to get you real far. Who's returning, the church or Christ? And you know what this pastor believes? I believe he's coming again. And I believe, and guess what? And I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to give you any dates. It's closer than it used to be. Now I'm going to tell you this. When nations, this is all I'm going to say about this, and you pray and figure it out. When nations start messing with Israel. Now, whether you won't believe me or not, or whether that messes your politics up or not, is irrelevant. Because here's what I'm telling you. You mess with Israel, go read your history. Your history. Every nation, empire, and in nation that thought they were big and bad that has messed with Israel is no longer big and bad. When I went to school, we did something weird when I went to school. Joe, you did this to us. They used to teach history. I wish we would teach history again and dump the psychology. I wish we'd get out of having touchy-feely hand-holding moments and have reality moments. This is what happens when humans make these decisions. Now, for some reason, how many of you all have made the same mistake twice? Anybody other than the pastor done that? What? Come talk to me a minute. Why do we do it? How many of you already know the way it's going to work out when you do it? You know this is an ignorant way to function. If I walk in my house and demand my own way, guess what I know? That's not going to be a good day. If I try to get Elizabeth and Clacy to see it my way, I know that that is absolutely just a futile argument. It's a much better day if I just say, yes, honey. But there are those times, guess what I'll do? I'll try to inject my knowledge. And instantly it is rejected. See what I'm saying? Know how to flow. Now, let me tell you what happens here. It's in God's plan. Now, note, and please be patient with this. God loves you, and he loves you so much, I want you to remember this, that he's going to give you the strength to endure hardship. And this is what I want you to be alert to, okay? There's been a lot of religious teaching in the past 40 years especially, that God has saved you so that you might have a comfortable, wonderful, blessed life. I mean, that sounds great. And if I preached that, the church would be full. And my colleagues would say, you're a successful guy because people are full. But you see, I don't believe that because Van Halen has gathered more than a pastor's ever gathered. Garth Brooks can get a better crowd than Billy Graham. So it's not about people feeling good. It's about people being changed by the divine Christ. It's not about you being blessed because you've already been blessed by being forgiven. It's about understanding who Jesus is. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance as your leaders did. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets. Now, here's what I want you to know. Jesus is not a surprise, is he, Reverend Reynolds? He has been foretold for hundreds of years before he is revealed. But when he's revealed, there's a whole lot of folks that can't see who he is because they won't listen to what's been foretold. Because here's the blocker. We all want Jesus to be like who? Come on, say it. And when Jesus won't do it our way, what do we have? A come apart. Well, that can't be like Jesus. See, watch this. People have a hard time with God. That guess what? God, at times, goes to war. And this drives pacifists crazy. God doesn't heal every time. And this makes us mad, especially if we're the one not being healed. But how many of you can trust God that the decision he makes is better than the one you were going to make. What's that called? Faith. God, even though I can't see it, I'm going to trust that your way's better than my way. We fight so hard to stay here when God died to take us there. That's why there were several people that were anxious that it could be the end of time. It could be the end of time. I wasn't anxious about the end of time because thanks be to God, He's revealed truth to me. And in salvation, do any of us in this room in salvation have an end of time? No. So, Freddie, the worst thing that can happen to you is transferred. In Christ, you will not be fired. Outside of Christ, you're not in.
Well, Pastor Steve, wouldn't a loving, merciful God just absorb everybody?
No. Nope. That's your hopeful wish and not the gospel testimony. Now, His desire is that everybody would be saved. But guess what? You have to do something to activate His salvation. You got to receive it. You got to believe it. You got to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is what? Lord. Not a Lord, the Lord. That means this. You got to drop what you once had to pick up what He has. Isn't that the truth? But what do we want to do? How many of us want to have Jesus on our own terms? How many of us in the world want to have Jesus our way? But guess what? Jesus says, I am the way, and you follow my way, and I'll take you all the way. That's pretty good news, isn't it? It's the news that says God will be there. Well, let's look at what happened. He's bringing them back to Jesus. Note. But this is how God fulfilled what He had foretold through all the prophets, saying that His Messiah would suffer. Why did Jesus suffer? Because you and I do. This isn't preached on much, but there's a suffering side to Jesus. It's good news to this side. Jesus knows our pain. How many of y'all glad to follow a Jesus that knows our pain? He knows what it's like to hurt. He knows what it's like to be falsely accused. He knows what it's like to be controlled by the circumstances of the world. And He knows what it's like to die. Now, that's where He relates to humanity. This is where He becomes God. He knows what it's like to raise from the dead. And that's the offering that you and I get. If we're just on our own, we can suffer. But we can't raise out of it without Christ. Isn't that true? Without the resurrection, there is no hope. Hello? I didn't say that. The Apostle Paul did. He said, if Jesus not be raised from the grave, I preach foolishness. But guess what we know? Jesus was what? Risen. Raised. How many of y'all been raised? You've been raised. Y'all tell, and guess what? I kind of say it like this. We are being raised. We're being raised out of what kills us into what brings life, into new possibilities, into new hopes. The Bible says it like this, from glory to glory to glory to glory. That's the life that we have. But sometimes we want to slide back and operate in ignorance instead of in knowledge. You got to have the knowledge that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Well, let's go on and see what He said. He tells us it is Jesus. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. How many of you all realize your sins have been wiped out? Anybody glad about that? Now watch this. This is amazing. Preachers, I want you to look at this. Jamie, they got a question about healing. And what is Peter and John, what are they testifying to? The cross. They're not even mentioning the healing. Here's what they're doing. They're taking people to the source of it. There's only one place your sins can be forgiven. Where is it? The cross. Without the cross, is there any forgiveness?
No.
We're just a bunch of people with some good ideas. And all of us are amazed by that. Well, you know, we do some good things. We do. And none of them last. Give me a good thing we do in humanity that lasts. None of it's internal. That's why history looks like it's in a circle. Because we kind of run through the same cycle all the time. But guess what? You may think it's in a circle, but God's got a beginning and a what? End. A finish. We may circle down that line, but there is one day that God will call his people to the house. But the good news is our sins have been what? Wiped out. Wiped away, the scripture says. So that your sins may be wiped out and that times of what? Refreshing may come from the Lord. Hillview, how many of y'all need a little refreshing from the who? Lord. This may be a great prayer for you tomorrow. God, revive me and refresh me to the point that I would care about somebody else having their sins wiped out. We got to get there. We got to get back there, church. Let me ask you a question. Why isn't it full of people in here today? I'm not picking on us. I'm just saying, why isn't it? Well, here's one reason. We've been together long enough at Hillview that no matter what we do and no matter how much we pray, we will enter into a human routine. And 8 o'clock will be 8 o'clock and 9:30 will be 9:30 and 11 o'clock will be 11 o'clock. And Nina, guess what? If I don't say something about it, we'll all just sit here and grow old together. And we'll be happy doing it. Here's what the devil's going to do to Hillview, man. Listen, the devil's been attacking this place for 20 years. You know what he wants to do now? Y'all just stay where you are. He'll leave us alone if we just stay where we are. He'll say, listen, man, watch this. The devil will do this. We've seen God gather souls in this place. And Weasley, he'll cut a deal with us. I'll let you have those souls right here if you'll stay out of the 90,000 that I have. Oh, by the way, it's 90,000 now. I got the new census. We got 113,000 in the county. So we've added about 6,000 more unchurched. So y'all tell Merle, he's not here right now, but y'all tell Merle the number changed. No, there he is. He's in the back again. I see you, Merle. Merle, the number changed. It's 90,000 now. You go, well, I thought we was winning people to the Lord. Yeah, but guess what? They keep coming in too, amen? Are we going to be concerned about that, guys? Are we going to be concerned? Are we going to be like John and Peter? And when God does something great, we say, let me tell you what it's about. It comes from the cross and the resurrection. It comes from people really, really understanding that God has, Jesus is the one that was sent by God, foretold by the prophets. And the only way your sin will be wiped out. Look at the scripture. It's amazing to me. He's not caught up in the excitement. He's caught up in the truth. And that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. Now, I want you all to understand this, and I'm not going to dwell on this much, but I'm going to come back to it through Acts. Jesus was appointed. You need to understand that. Jesus knew God knew what was going to happen with Jesus. Jesus was not an accident. Jesus was not a decision by God. Jesus was the plan of God. From the beginning, Jesus was there. How many of y'all glad to know? Think about this a minute. You have a Savior that got there before you did. How many of y'all glad to have a Savior that got there before you did? Let me explain it for just a minute. How many of y'all ever gone somewhere and you were going as a group and you had some others that got there a couple of days before you did? Anybody ever have that moment? Wasn't it kind of nice to have some of your friends who got there before you did, once you arrived there, show you how it all worked? When Jesus was in heaven and he got there before we did, so he came to us to bring us the understanding of heaven, to make a way so that we might understand the kingdom of God and then take us there. So who do we need to really listen to? Jesus. He goes back to tell him he's the one. There's not another one. You say, well, Pastor Ayers, you say that every Sunday. Yeah, because guess what? By Monday, y'all trying to find another one. You say, hey, you know, I hear it in here. I've heard some of y'all say, Pastor Ayers, I tell you what, there's a great prophet on TBN. I don't need a TBN prophet. I got the King of Kings. I don't need the next. Listen, church, if there's one thing we need to detox ourselves from in the body of Jesus Christ is this. I am sick and tired of holy gimmicks. I am done with gimmicks. I don't want to hear about the next wave. I don't want to hear about the next outpouring. I don't want to hear about all this jazz because I've read the statistics. They don't work. Here's why. I remember the last guy we had through there. He was all tattooed up, and he's supposed to be some prophet. And I told some of y'all, y'all were like, oh, gosh, he's doing this. And I said, you better be careful. You better be careful. You're always chasing the buzz. You better be careful. And all y'all were so disappointed when they found him in the bar chasing women. You know why you can be led astray? You can always be led astray when your feelings lead the way. Jesus is not a feeling. He is an appointed reality of God to earth, not a feeling. He is not a momentary movement. He is an eternal reality. He is not temporarily engaged. He is permanently established. Now, you're not ignorant. So what has got a hold of us will not let go in difficult times. Now, what do your emotions do in difficult times? Change gears. In fact, we do well in the church to quit all this slobbering on each other and start actually learning the Word of God. What does it really say? It says that Jesus will not let go. It says that Jesus wipes out sin. It says those who die in Christ shall rise in Christ. It says there is a return of Christ. And on that glorious day, those who are in Him shall have their salvation. That's what it says. Live what? Accordingly. Anybody glad He's wiped out your sins? Just tell your neighbor, I've been wiped out. Come on, tell them. That'd be a cool movie. Chase, y'all ought to produce that movie, Wipe Out. What does Jesus Christ do? He wipes out what? Sin. He moves us from refreshing to refreshing. Hillview, it's time for refreshing. Billy Duvall, I think it's time for refreshing. What do you think? Well, you and I have been at this a while now. It's time for a what? God does have a blessing with our name on it. And guess what? I even know the name of the blessing. Jesus. You say, Pastor Steve, I'm a little short on money. No, you're not. You're a little short on your understanding of who your God is. You want to go broke? Lose sight of who your God is. Well, that'll preach. I'm not chasing that rabbit, Mark, but that'll preach. You want to go broke? Just lose sight of who your what? God is. Our nation, we're seeing all this rumbling and a lot of difficulty. Why? I mean, this didn't happen 2 weeks ago. This has been happening for 60 years. What have we lost sight of? God. Most of you in this room, you all grew up in a public school where you stood up and had a prayer and a devotion and said the Pledge to Allegiance. You grew up in a school where if you talk back to the teacher, they pulled out that board and wore your rear end out and brought you to Jesus. You know what's amazing? It was your generation that made this nation possible. Goodness. Can you imagine putting this generation on gas rations like it happened in World War II? You reckon they'd get off their Xbox long enough to go make the material to fight a world war? This is reality, what happened just a little while ago in people's lives. Can you imagine this generation in a depression? Their first question would be, could they turn their hot tub on? And can you imagine the therapy it would take to get them out of it? Antidepressant sales would be off the roof. Why do you think that's such a good business? Because see, in 1960, we all decided that life was about feeling good. And so any moment life doesn't feel good, what do we believe? Something must be wrong. I don't know about y'all. Do y'all always feel good? You know, when I have somebody close to me die, I don't feel good in that moment because I love them. You know what? Let me tell you what. Some Sundays I come out of here feeling good, and some Sundays I come out of here brokenhearted. Because I look at people that need to repent of their sins and they sit there and the Holy Spirit pulls on them for an hour and a half. And guess what they decide to do? They decide to walk right out of these back doors and go to hell again. And that breaks my heart. Because you know what? Unlike this preacher that knew when the end of time is, I don't know when the end of time is. And that makes me more nervous. I don't know if it's tomorrow. I don't know if it's the next day. I don't know if it's 100 years from now or if it's, I'll give you an honest moment. I had a moment in prayer. This happened about 15 years ago, and it was one of those prayer meetings that you only get every once in a while in your life. And the realization of God was so thick in that room. The only thing I wanted to do is find a knife and get under the carpet. I wanted to hide my face. I knew what Moses meant when he said he wanted to hide his face. In the prayer in that room was very clear. And after I finally got enough nerve up, because I mean, you get in that kind of presence of the God, you're not yapping. There's an almighty holy God. There's a reverence. Sarge, I finally got up enough nerve. I don't know. We stayed in there about 4 or 5 hours. Finally got up enough nerve. And I said, God, is it soon? And the Lord even spoke this clear. He said, Ayers, it's sooner than you think. Which didn't answer my question, because sometimes I think it's 2,000 years away and sometimes I think it's tomorrow. But it's sooner between those two points. You know what he's telling me? It's not when I return. It's what are you going to do with where I am? See, apparently we didn't believe he was returning. We didn't believe today that he was going to return like yesterday, because last week there wouldn't have been a seat in here if we believed that. You see, if we really believed that, we wouldn't want any of our friends to go to hell. I'm going to tell you, it's going to catch us one day. How many of y'all ever had a final exam that was coming and you were going to study for it, but you never got there? Anybody have that experience? I was going to study for it, but we played golf that afternoon. Then the golf game went long, and then we had... How many of y'all have ever taken a test without studying other than your pastor? How many of y'all that went well for you? Unless you're just naturally smart like Larry. Guess what I found out when I took that test I didn't study for? I'm not a natural. Because they flagged that sucker. And that F did not stand for fantastic. It stands for pay us again, okay? So look at here. Heaven must receive him until the time comes for God to restore everything. Note this, God is going to restore what? Everything. As he promised long ago through his holy prophets. Once again, this has been God's word since the beginning of time. For Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet. You must listen to everything he tells you. Now note verse 23. I want you to note this. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from their people. Now please note that. I'm not going to dwell on that. You all know the reality here. You hear it straight here. If you choose not to listen to God, you'll be cut off. I don't know why some of my colleagues have such a hard time realizing there is a difference between those who receive Christ and those who refuse to receive Christ. There's a reality and there's a difference. So we can't make everybody the same just because we want to. Parents, please, will you get your children to Bible study and to youth group? This week I had two conversations with parents. And they were telling me that they were very thankful for their children growing up in a ministry that taught them the Bible. Why? I don't know. Listen, I'm glad this is here. This doesn't upset me at all. We have over 10,000 Muslims in Warren County. They go to school with our Christian kids. And here's what our Muslim kids tell our Christian kids. That being a Muslim and being a Christian is the same. Thank be to God, these were two children who had actually been to Bible study in the church. Because guess what children say who've never been to Bible study? You're right. But children who've been to Bible study, they know how to answer that question gracefully and truthfully in love. And they just show them how it's not the same. Then guess what those kids have been? A witness. Now, if y'all going to leave you, watch this. Some of you all may think that. I don't know how you could go to church here and think that Islam and Christianity is the same, other than you just reject everything you've been taught. You have the freedom to reject it. But I want you to know, God also has the freedom to apply that consequence. And I just want you to know, in heaven, just so you won't be confused, there are no Senate, House of Republicans, there is no democracy in heaven. So if you want to get out your protesting signs, that's in the basement. That's not in the glory of God. You either do, you listen to everything he says, or you reject him. I mean, it's very clear here. Peter's being very clear in this passage of Scripture. Anyone who does not listen to this holy prophet of God, Jesus himself, will be cut off from their people. Now, that's very important for a Jew to not be what? Cut off. And he's telling them, the way is Christ. The new Moses is not Moses, it's Jesus. And if you're going to follow into the promised land, see it all comes together, you got to follow who? Jesus. Indeed, beginning with Samuel, all the prophets have spoken, have foretold of these days. And you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed. And when God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you. Now, whether you like this or not, I know I'm preaching to a majority of us who are white Anglo-Saxon Americans. And I know that we're very ignorant. We think that God has blessed us as a people more than any other people. He has not. He did not choose Anglos. He did not choose African Americans. He did not choose Asians. He chose the Jews. Why? Because that's who he chose. Because guess what God can do? He can choose who he wants to. And guess what else he can do? He can choose not who he wants to. Now, y'all can go get protest signs and everything up, and guess what? God does not care. Those are very human issues. Those aren't God's issues. His desire is that all people would be what? Saved. And here's how he did it. First, he came to the who? Jews. How many of y'all understand Jesus was Jewish? He's a Jew. But you remember, if you go ahead and listen, I got Pastor Reynolds, we got to get these folks in Bible study. They got to understand that when Jesus was 12 years old in the seventh grade, and Kathy's in the seventh grade, you've been in that program. You remember when you was at the junior high? Could you imagine having Jesus in the seventh grade coming to Moss? Well, he'd have sat down with the faculty and melt them all down. And y'all would be going, he took that ACT and scored a 36. And wrote in four other questions we knew nothing about and got those right too after our research. Can you imagine Jesus sitting with the elders, the leaders of this Jewish religion? Can you imagine Jesus today? He'd go to Southern Seminary and sit down with Al Mohler, the leading scholar of the world. And he would melt him down at age 12. Isn't it amazing? Jesus at 12 years old in the seventh grade, Andrew, you'd be his youth pastor. Can you imagine being Jesus' junior high pastor? Think about that for a minute. As Jesus' junior high pastor, how cheesy would I sound to Jesus? I wonder what he'd be wanting to do in the seventh grade. Wonder what he would do in marriage. Wonder what Jesus, now we're starting to think God has called us to think like Jesus. He is the one that changes everything. Y'all got this? Go on, man. We're going to finish up. We're going to get there. We're going to get there. Don't be cut off. Don't be cut off. Let him bring you in. He sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your what? Wicked ways. Any of y'all got any wicked ways? How many of y'all got any wicked ways? How you know they're wicked? Come on, talk to me, huh? Okay, they don't bring life. That's a good indication. What else? Come on, talk to me. Y'all talk. Lord have mercy. I mean, if y'all want to go to a silent church, we got 127 of them here in Warren County. Why waste your time in it? I mean, how do you know if it's a wicked way?
Feels good.
Oh, you try to hide it? Okay, some wicked ways feel good, brother. You're right. They do. It's our way. Is that right? Let's just give you our way. I want what? That's a key indicator. It's usually a wicked way when it's all about you. And that starts out with three phrases you hear all week long. I think. How many of y'all have, well, now I think. We ought to just have a week that we declare at Hillview to be honorary for 1 week. Just. And when people say, I think, we just look at them and go, nobody cares what you think. Lord, any of y'all grew up in those churches used to have business meetings in? Y'all remember those business meetings in church? Oh, thank God they've been gone from this place. You know, God be trying to do something in the church, and you'd have to have a business meeting, Dr. Cox. I don't know if you ever went to one of those. They'd have them on Wednesday night. On Sunday morning in the church, our Sunday school teachers would tell us to love one another as Jesus has loved us. We'd learn that at 9:30 on Sunday morning. Wednesday night, they'd fight like cats and dogs up at big church. And you'd always have, and they all start calling each other, Baptists start calling each other brother when they don't like each other. See, I grew up in a Southern Baptist convention. Andrew and Chase, this is what's sad. I know I've grown old. Andrew and Chase have got to go. They're going to the Southern Baptist convention. Y'all pray for them that they not be affected by this. And I remember going to that convention when I was about their age. And they brought these books into me and they said, Pastor Steve, what do you think about that? And these are history books. And I was there. I realized something's happening to me. The moments I went to are in Chase and Andrew's history books. It's a recent history, not ancient history. I remember going to Southern Baptist Convention. You know what? Here I am, a young preacher, and I'm all fired up. I believe God wants to save everybody. I've always believed that. I am under the illusion that pastors really want to see people come to know Jesus. I go to the Southern Baptist Convention, and I realize that is an illusion. They care more about politics than they do people. Wicked ways. I got to laughing. In fact, I left and played golf for our last convention. I was in New Orleans. We were in the Superdome. We was having this convention. And I thought to myself, if I was God and wanted to improve my church, a couple of these beams being loosened would be a great improvement in a quick moment. I said, I'm getting out of here just in case the Lord has the same idea I just had. And I went and played golf below sea level. Jim, the ball doesn't fly any better below sea level than it does above. Yeah, I'm sitting here. What did we do at convention? Here's what we really did at convention. Fought for our way. The more I read the scriptures, I was ignorant back then. The more I read the scriptures, I find very few people that want to fight for Jesus' way. And I find even less who want to live in it. Because the way of Jesus is this way. It's the way of love. It's the way of forgiveness. It's the way of mercy. It's a way of consciousness that says, hold on. There is a Jesus that will take you out of your wicked ways and bring you into his blessed way. Hold on. He's real. Amen. So church, I hope you've been encouraged today. Please invite people to Christ all week long. Okay, I got to give you that. We got to wake up and get on this thing, all right? I know we're fortunate. Praise be unto Jesus Christ. I know we see a lot of people baptized here, but I don't want you to be conned by that. You know what we'll do? We'll see 500 or 600 people baptized here, and we'll say, man, God's done a good work with us. What if we were supposed to have 3,000? I know y'all looking at me like, Pastor Steve, when are you going to quit pushing us? Never. There's 90,000 folks. I don't know what I need to do. I'll stand on my head, gargle peanut butter, whatever it is. But listen, what if y'all looked at our pastors, they are not going to reach 90,000 people. Some of our pastors get kicked out of places. Okay, so you're going to have to go where they can't go. But I'm telling you, you're going to have to go, and you're going to have to invite people, and you're going to have to let them know that Jesus is Lord. I want to extend an invitation right now, a three-prong invitation this morning. First of all, I want us to pray that God would use this church to bring as many people into his grace as possible before he comes again. And I want you to know he's coming again. Y'all okay with that? Now, guess what some preachers are going to tell you? That he's not returning. That's not true. He's returning. He's coming back. Back. And I don't know about y'all, but there's some things in motion that say at least we're in pregame. Hello? There are. Y'all better wake up. It might happen in our lifetime. Scares me, Adam. This is what scares me. You know why? The church in America is weak. It's weak. We got followers of Jesus who are more worried about the temperature in this room than they are about souls going to hell. Devil's trained us to think like that. See, we've fallen in love with the wrong thing. We in love with the church. Don't ever fall in love with his church. Fall in love with the leader of the church, Jesus, the head, the one, the Christ, the one that has been foretold that delivers us from our what? Wicked ways. Well, maybe today you've been struggling with wicked ways. Any of y'all got wicked ways? Seriously, any of y'all ever had any wicked ways? How'd it go for you? How many of y'all have ever tried this one? I'm going to be drunk every day and see how life is. Anybody in here ever had that one? How was it? And guess what? Praise God, we don't have to go back there because the cross has blocked that day. How many of y'all decided this? I'm going to rip as many people off as I can in a lifetime, make as much money. This is called the American dream. I'm going to rip as many people off as I possibly can before I die so I can get an RV and drive around campsites and die peacefully. And what I'll have to show for my life is Good Sam sticker clubs on the side of a trailer. Hold on, that's the American what? Here's what I'm telling y'all. See, we're missing 15 people on this road. Somebody could be saved on this road today. Oh, I'm waking us up. What will we do? I already know what mode we're going into. Summer. For some reason in the evangelical church, we think God from May to the middle of August takes off. We got a lot of people to reach, man. I'm loving you. I don't want to hear this either. You beautiful, seasoned people. There is no retirement in the kingdom of God. I won't hear this stuff. Well, Pastor Steve, I'm 70 years old. You ought to be thanking God you're still here. You ought to be grateful. And you ought to say, you know what? I'm going to take some of my buddies with me, some of my girlfriends with me. I'm going to take them with me to heaven in the name of Jesus. We got to get that attitude, all right? Well, stand up with me. I want to give you an invitation. Three-pronged. Today, I want you to come pray for our city, that people might come to know Jesus Christ is who he said he is. Number two today, if you've never asked Jesus Christ, hold on, get to praying. Get to praying right now. Hold on, get to praying. There are people in this room today that don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you a real question. If the rapture had occurred yesterday, would you be singing today, Keith? Yeah, you get to sing in heaven. That's right. How many of y'all still be here? I'll tell you who'll be here just so you won't be confused. If you've never asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, if you don't believe he is the Son of God, the way, the truth, and the life, if you've chosen to do it your own way, you'll be here. But I'll tell you who'll be with him. Those who said he would be with him. And they've done this. They've come to a moment in their life, and for some of you, that's going to be right now. And they said, Lord Jesus Christ, I believe you died on a cross to wipe out my sin. Tell him today if you believe that. Lord Jesus, come into my life and wipe out my what? Sin. I don't know any other way you're going to wipe it out. Because I don't know about you. When I tried to quit my own sin, I liked it and refused to quit. And did anybody else have that dilemma? It's hard to give up something you like. But when God wipes it out, you don't like it anymore. See the difference? But who's got to wipe it out? Jesus. So why don't you say, Jesus, come and wipe the sin out of my life. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you've risen from the grave. And Lord Jesus, I receive you into my what? Life. You do that today. These pastors are up here today, man. They are loving on you. Now, we're going to have an altar call. I want everybody to stay put. I don't care what time it is. We got some important things to do at the altar today. We're going to have an altar call for about 5 minutes for people to come be saved. So don't delay that. Come. If you're coming, come. And we're going to pray over a group of beautiful people from our church who next week are going to be in Haiti. So that's the way we're going to end the service in a commissioning prayer of a mission group going to Haiti to preach Jesus, to love people, and to take care of needs. Isn't that neat? How many of y'all glad to be a part of the Jesus Christ church that goes to Haiti, that goes to Michigan, that goes to Nashville, that goes to Costa Rica, that goes to Brazil, that believes Jesus is the God of the world? Amen? Well, let's come and pray and ask God to bless this moment. Lord, we ask a release of this altar. We pray for those that need to be baptized, those that need to receive Christ, those that need to get it done, that there is no longer a delay in this city, God. that your spirit will be so drawing in its nature that it will be very difficult for those who need to be saved to be drawn by the Spirit to salvation. God, forgive those of us who believe we can do it by ourselves. Bring us to the altar today, Lord. Bring us to your reality today. Let our sin be wiped out and let the glory of God be revealed in this moment in the name of Jesus. Come on, church. There ought to be everybody coming to this altar. We're coming anyway, so come and just let God touch you right now. Come on. Come on. Come on.